Luke chapter 1, and we're going to be looking this evening at verses 26 to 38. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Let us hear God's holy and infallible word. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. The angel departed from her. May the Lord bless his word. Our title for this evening's message is The Birth of Our Great King Announced. The Birth of Our Great King Announced. We all like an announcement of good news, don't we? Especially in these days in which we're living. Good news is most welcome. It encourages us. We can think of when people are getting married or have gotten married. It's wonderful news. It encourages us all. We think of those who have passed exams. We think of those who are expecting children. Or those who are baptizing their children. But this evening we're going to look at an announcement that is far greater than all of those announcements put together. An incredible announcement. One we often fail to grasp in its importance. That announcement of the birth of the greatest king to ever walk the face of the earth. The announcement of the king, no greater will come after him. Sadly, we can often just think of Christ becoming a man, coming into this world at one time of the year. That would be a mistake to do that. For without the incarnation, the Christ came into this world, became man. Without that truth, without the truth of the incarnation, there is no gospel. December 25th, every year, people like to think of Jesus, even non-Christians, as just a helpless baby in the womb. That's how they like to think of Christ. Nothing more. Not as a great king who would sit on the throne of David. There's a vast difference between the Christ that the world has dreamt up as merely a baby and the true God of the Bible. One image is not something to submit to, but the God of heaven is the great one. We often, how many times do we hear in the media of sports stars who will claim that they are the greatest? They are the greatest. You might hear of boxers who says, "No one can defeat me," until they are defeated. These are but idle boasts of men. But one can claim to be the greatest and is the greatest to ever walk on this earth. The greatest of all men, the greatest of all kings, and the greatest of all power. This great king came to live among his people and to suffer among his people. He gives himself to experience all the struggles that life has to offer, and yet without sin. He experienced hunger, thirst, tiredness, but was always at every moment of that true God. What an announcement for Mary to hear. She would bear this king in her womb. She would bear this king in her womb. Yes, a baby, and in one sense, a normal baby, normal human development. But in another sense, completely not ordinary in any sense. True God and true man. Not a mixture of the two. In our minds, we can't understand it, can we? But true God from eternity past, having no beginning, will becoming man. Never ceasing to be God, and from conception in the womb of Mary, never ceasing to be man. This great king prophesied that would come from the line of David. He's here. The one they have been waiting for. The son of David. Since coming back from exile into the land, they wait for the day of this great king. Mary knew of the enormity. This is the son of David. This is the one who has to come. How does she react to this announcement? How does this announcement affect her? What should it teach us about God? And is it good news for us? Is it still good news for us 2,000 years later? Incredible news. Firstly, let us look at the greatest blessing. The greatest blessing, verses 26 to 28. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." The greatest blessing. For anyone who hears the news of a woman being with child, that is a wonderful, wonderful blessing. That alone is a great blessing. says in Psalm 127, verse 3, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." But sadly today, children are often seen as anything but a blessing. Very, very different back then. Something that is, sadly, something to be gotten rid of for many. If we look outside these abortion clinics that have been set up in now various parts of our province, there are women who do not see that life inside their womb as a blessing. Every human being created in the image of God is a blessing from God. And it is only in God's hands that He can take it away. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. But this is no ordinary pregnancy. No ordinary birth. No ordinary person. Yes, every child is special. Everybody tells their children that they are special. That might be true to various degrees, but every child is special. They are created, they are unique, created in the image of Almighty God. But this holy child would be the greatest blessing to any womb. Can I make a confession? As I was going through this, as a former Roman Catholic, I feel a little bit uncomfortable whenever I think about this stuff. Because you know what has been done in the church of deifying Mary. And it's tragic. Historical church, gradually they made more and more of this truth until they ended up deifying Mary, a humble woman who bowed to the will of Almighty God. So when I look at these things, sometimes I can feel nervous having come from that background because of the abuse of this topic. But we need to think of the great blessing that Mary received, because you know why? It's in the Word of God. It's clearly taught in the Word of God. In Luke 1:28, in the Roman Catholic translation of the Reformation, it was translated, "Hail, full of grace," as opposed to what's here, "Thou that art highly favored." And the problem with that rendering is it gives a false idea that Mary herself is somehow that reservoir of grace from which it flows, rather than her herself needing grace. She was a sinner, just like you and I are sinners. But she received incredible blessing. We should not minimize this because of fear of what has been done with the truth. Many Bible truths have been abused. The Son of God was to be in her womb. She was a highly favored one, one whom God's face shone upon with this wonderful privilege and blessing. The word here, hail, translated hail, it just means something like greetings. Or more literally, rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice that this is true of you, Mary, the angel says. Will bear this miraculous son. The most incredible birth announcement which would ever take place. The most incredible announcement Mary would ever hear in her life. How often do we read this without thinking of the earth-shattering announcement that this was? In a good sense. I remember when my wife and I discovered we were expecting twins, and my wife was pregnant 8 weeks. Normally, you don't tell people until 12 weeks. But when we found out, what do you do with good news? And you have to tell people, pray and everything else. Something is good news. Can you keep it to yourself? This is the most incredible news. The Son of David is coming. He will receive his throne. If you have great news, do you keep it to yourself and not talk about it? Tell everybody. Shout it from the rooftops. We don't hardly see Jesus coming as good news anymore. We can become almost like Peter in denial of who Jesus was. We can become embarrassed of him. Greatest news is him coming. We can approach it like this: I'm going to try harder, I'm going to work harder to be, or no. We start with our hearts. Our hearts need changing. And the more we see this as wonderful news, the truth of the gospel, and what he did on that cross, what he did in his life, dear brethren, it will flow out of you like a fountain. But it comes from us seeing how wonderful this news is. The greatest blessing. Number two, the greatest means. The greatest means. Mary is not yet married. She is still a virgin. As she says in verse 34 of Luke 1, verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? It wasn't unbelief. It wasn't like when Zacharias was told about John the Baptist, about his miraculous birth. Zacharias and Elizabeth are very old, and they think it's not possible to have children. Zacharias kind of scoffed at the idea, and it was made to be mute until the birth. But this is different. Mary did not scoff. As amazing as it was, she asked, how? How? She knew what would happen. But she didn't know how it would happen. God's ways are higher than our ways, which is why we must listen to him. We must listen to him at all times. Ask him that we would grow wiser in the Lord. It says in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. His ways are higher. When we don't understand, and there's many times in our Christian walk, we won't understand things in the Word of God. We don't speculate. We listen to him. The Word of the living God. And we should ask him, just as Mary did, how? Help me to understand this, O Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not in thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. We're asking him to trust his ways. In whatever way he does it is the best way. We may look at the Bible at times, why was it like this? Why this way? Here is a great king. A great king coming to have, in a sense, an ordinary birth. His conception, of course, was miraculous. But he went through all the normal stages of human development. He grew, he learned in his human mind. But whenever we struggle to understand, why this way, O Lord? Why not another way? Know that it is the greatest way, the best way that he chose to do it. Mary cannot understand it, for in her mind, she's a virgin. She does not know. How does this make sense? How will this happen? God uses the greatest means to carry out his purpose. Not the second best way to do it. Not the third best way. Not the fourth best way. He always picks the greatest way to glorify his name. Trust him when you pray to give, that he will give you what you need. What you need, not what you want. Young person, you may have prayed about something you thought was the best way. God perhaps closed that door on you. And you're wondering, why is this door closed on me? But God has the greatest means for doing what he does. You may not understand it, just as Mary did not understand it there. Christ became one of us. He suffered with us in our place. He would be among the seed of Abraham. And literally tabernacle, dwell with us. Hebrews 2 verses 16 and 17 says, "For verily he took on him the nature of angels. He took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." He identified with us, became one of us. Conceived in the womb during pregnancy and was born. There was no greater than him. So we looked at the greatest blessing, greatest means to carry out this. Number three now, the greatest man. The greatest man. Verses 32 to 33. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Wow. Not only will you have a child miraculously born, but he'll be great, the Son of the Highest. He'll have a great throne, the throne of his father David, prophesied in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel 7, verse 14, that if his son, his kingdom will have no end. Here he is. He shall reign over the house of Jacob, not just for a period of time like the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel before. He will reign forever and ever and ever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Could you imagine if you knew you were expecting a child, and you knew that child somehow would go on to be a great person, a person of great importance, would be a preacher in the same mold as somebody like Charles Haddon Spurgeon, Robert Murray McShane or someone like that. If you had news like that, or and if your child would bless the church in mighty ways, or perhaps would become a powerful ruler like that of Daniel while in exile in Babylon. What an announcement that would be. You know, wow, my child will do these things. One greater than Daniel is here. One greater than Solomon is here. I might say, of course, greater Solomon. But for the Jews, Solomon was the pinnacle. One greater than his father David is here. The greatest man, true man to ever walk the earth. What incredible news. A mighty king will come out from the womb of Mary. A mighty king of a mighty kingdom, which will have no end. All the empires, all the rules, all the despots around the world who have power, they cling to power for a brief moment in the sun. It is but brief. This kingdom has no end. A king prophesied who would come from the line of David. The line of David. Both Joseph and Mary were both from that line. The one who would deliver his people. The Lamb of God who would set his people free. One far greater than Moses. Far greater than Moses. Moses led out from the bondage in Egypt. But what God does is bring us from the bondage of sin through the finished work of Jesus Christ. This great king would obey the law of God, every part of it, the first table and the second table, perfectly. He would obey perfectly, without sin, his parents. I don't know about you, but I think of if you see a perfectly behaved child, they stand out. Not one moment was that fifth commandment broken in thought or word and in deed. The law kept perfectly. What if you heard today somebody in the royal family doing some kind of menial work, working in a soup kitchen for a couple of hours, perhaps cleaning something on the streets or doing some labor outside? You'd probably go, he didn't have to do that, but wow, look at that. Lowering themselves to be among the people. Voluntarily living lower than he had to. This great king, though he had great wealth, he had a great kingdom, and that never goes away, that never went away, but at the same time, he grows up not in great wealth, in a normal Jewish home. Still a great king. He was not forced to do this. He freely did this because of a love he had for his people. His people needed a perfect righteousness. He didn't just come to die for us, he came to live for us. So that when the God the Father looks upon us, if we're in Christ, he can say that he delights in us because of Christ. who would suffer for his people, be mocked for his people, would lay aside his outer glory for a time for his people, never ceasing to be God. But his outward manifestation of his glory would be veiled for a time. Only a great man could sacrifice so much. When we remember the veterans from World War II and World War I, we rightly remember their sacrifice. We are grateful for what they did and what they fought for and what they suffered for. Brave men died on the battlefield. They sacrificed much so that an evil empire did not spread all over Europe. But what of our gratitude for Christ? The second person of the triune God who became man. He alone has done far more than every soldier on the battlefield put together. He was victorious in suffering. So we've looked at the greatest blessing, the greatest means, the greatest man, and finally we're going to look at the greatest power. The greatest power. When we think of royalty and power, we might think of an amazing entrance. Perhaps we would think of a red carpet. We might think of something done for them or by them to show, here he is. Here is this important person. Verses 35 to 37. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Virgins don't conceive. Everybody knows that. Virgins don't conceive. And what the world will look at as impossible, well, humanly speaking, we look at as impossible. Happened. No ordinary conception. And it would demonstrate his great and mighty power. He would do something never before done, and something that will never be done again. We'll turn briefly to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14, which speaks of this incredible entrance of the king. In this miraculous way, it says in Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, otherwise known as God with us. Then also in Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Verse 6 again. For unto us a child is born. Miraculously. And it speaks of that great power that this one, this Holy One would have. If we think about the kings around the world that are around the world today, they are but figureheads, mainly. They have little power. They're there almost more for ceremony and for history. They are not important for how life goes in our day-to-day living. However, not this king. Not this king. He shows that even with a virgin and an elderly couple, referring back to Zacharias and Elizabeth, nothing is impossible with God. Verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Nothing stops him from carrying out his plan, his decree, his purposes. As incredible as the promises in the Bible may sound, at times they will come to pass. Because nothing stops the almighty plan, decree, and purpose of God. The more we know this, the more it will help our faith to grow. I can promise each and every one of you here £1 million. I can be very sincere about it. I can even believe I'm going to get it for you. But you're probably going to be a little bit skeptical that you're ever going to get that £1 million. I don't have the power to get that kind of money. I don't have the ability. Our God has the power to carry out what he says. That's why this announcement is so wonderful. And we've probably experienced this in our lives. We meet people and they tell us things and they promise us things. And oh, it sounds wonderful. And then I might ask them about that thing. I say, well, remember that thing you promised me? And they're like, what was that thing again? You might forget about it. Or when God promises something, he delivers. As we said earlier, Mary wondered at how. Not whether it would happen or not. She was amazed by it. She was troubled by it, in a sense. But we can be casual in this truth. Oh, God is in control. Almost like a kind of a glib sense about it. But if God is in control, why do we worry? If God is in control, what about our prayer lives? I could ask people today, who do you petition more, the throne of heaven or the assembly in Stormont? Who has got more power? I'm not saying you shouldn't petition government. The King of Kings has the power. He's the one to labor before in prayer on our knees. Do we labor in church life as if it all depends on me? If we think it all depends on us, dear brethren, we've forgotten that God is truly in control. God uses us. Praise God for that. We should labor diligently. But it doesn't all depend on us. It doesn't. Praise God, it doesn't. If it depended on any one of us, the work would crumble. We need to trust him. There are many parts in the body. It's what labor. We must work. If a farmer expects a great harvest, he labors in the field. God promises certain things to us. Hold them dear as he is mighty. He is mighty, for whom the impossible is not so. It's not impossible. We'll walk around and we'll do things sometimes in our Christian walk, and in our minds we act like it's impossible. We may even share the gospel with someone, but there's that lingering doubt at the back of our minds. Oh, he's not going to read that tract. Why? Some of the most vilest men on this earth have been brought to Christ. He is in control of everything. Even the hearts of kings. The hearts of sinners. Mary trusts, as we see in verse 38. She says this, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. She heard the explanation. She heard what would happen. And she said, "Be according to thy word, O Lord." We accept God's plan. He is powerful. He is all wise. He will bring it to pass. Think of, by way of application, think of all the people in this village. Don't know Christ. Is there anything preventing the salvation of every single man, woman, and child in this village? We've knocked on the doors, we've invited, we've toiled. We've done it for many years. And there can be this lingering thought of, it gets harder to keep going. Keep knocking on doors, keep street preaching or whatever else may be done. But we have to keep before our minds, it is God who changes hearts, not us. It's not our toil. It's not our sweat and our tears. It's God. It will happen in his time, in his way, for his glory, and not in our time. The work you do perhaps will lay the foundation for the person who comes after you, but he will do it. He will bring in the harvest. Just trust him to bring in that. Nothing stops God. Virginity here did not stop pregnancy. Old age for Zechariah and Elizabeth did not stop them having a child. Let us live. Not just saying God's in control. Live with expectancy. He's going to bring in multitudes. We notice from the book of Revelation, a number that cannot be counted. There are, if you can count the stars of heaven, that will be the number of the multitudes that will be there worshiping God for all eternity. That should keep us going. Because we know the countless multitudes. We know the nations will bow the knee to Christ one day. We know these things. And they may look impossible to us today. But nothing is impossible to God. We must live with that expectancy. God is going to work. We go out to labor. God is going to work. We may not see it. It may be like the mustard seed. It may be like that leaven. You can't see it working, but it is working. Are we in prayer about these things? Are we in prayer about these things? Constantly, together, in prayer. Conclusion. Does all this make us marvel at this great and mighty announcement. Are we thankful about the blessings of salvation and what our great King had to go through for you and I? It's incredible. When we look at what he laid aside the glories of heaven and came into the sin-cursed world. And the only way we're going to keep before us that sense of gratitude, that sense of praise and worship when we come here on the Sabbath day is that we're pouring over the Word of God daily in our homes. We're going to forget. Our natural tendency is to forget things, to forget our blessings, to start grumbling and to say, oh, why am I like this? Why is my life going like this? But when you see what the Savior did for sinners like you and I, is there any task too low for us to do? Surely there's not. Are you in awe of this man, this God, this King, the greatest man, the greatest preacher, the greatest teacher to ever walk the face of the earth? The greatest preacher came, dwelt among his people, and he was rejected by his people. He was crucified by his people. And he preached truth to them. And what does the heart of sinful men say? Crucify him. Yet he still died for sinners. He still died for sinners. Like you and I. We trust him. He's not some mere helpless baby in the womb. He is mighty. He is powerful. And he is on the throne of David today. And he has a kingdom. He has dominion. He has power. That will continue forever and ever and ever. So that when you go out, when you share the gospel, he is with you, even unto the end of the world. Amen.